From the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is a Richmond City Commission Candidates Forum, produced as a collaboration of 88.9 WEKU Public Radio, the Richmond Register, the Downtown Richmond Association, and the Eastern Kentucky University Department of Government. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen of WEKU, and this program is also being produced as a special edition of Eastern Standard. And with me to pose questions for the candidates for Richmond City Commission are Bill Robinson, former editor and now senior news writer for the Richmond Register, who's been at the newspaper a total of about 18 years in his career. Also with us, Colleen Spencer. Colleen is a local businesswoman and vice president of the Downtown Richmond Association and board member for Habitat for Humanity of Madison County. Bill, Colleen, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And now, of course, our candidates who will be on the ballot for Richmond City Commission on November 8th are, these are, by the way, listed alphabetically. We have Commissioner Robert Blythe, Commissioner. Commissioner Jim Newby. We have Commissioner Jason Morgan. Actually, these are not alphabetical. I apologize. We have challengers Morgan Eves and John Roden. And so we'll sort everybody out and identify everybody on the screen in a few moments during this evening's broadcast. For this debate, we have a few very simple rules. And we will ask each of the candidates to begin with a 1 to 2 minute opening statement. And when you are asked a question, we ask each of the candidates to limit your response to a minute and a half. Please don't feel that you need to use a minute and a half, but and I'll watch the timer to keep track of the timing. If a candidate's name is mentioned, we will offer you an opportunity to issue a rebuttal of up to 1 minute, just in case someone else has brought up your name. And each of candidates will be asked to make a closing statement of up to 2 minutes at the end of our broadcast. I will do my best to serve as a timekeeper with the assistance of our producer, Darren Wilson, of the EKU Department of Government. So let us go ahead and begin with our candidates and ask each of you to begin with an opening statement. And I will do this in alphabetical order. We will ask Commissioner Robert Blythe to begin with an opening statement. Good evening.
Thank you, John. Good evening. Good evening to those who will be posing the questions. Good evening to the audience. I'm Robert Blythe. I am a candidate for one of the four commission seats that will come up for election in November. I am currently serving, as has been mentioned, as a commissioner and have really appreciated the opportunity to do so. I am a lifelong resident of Richmond, with the exception of a couple of weeks when I went away to school and went to work for IBM in Akron, Ohio. But product of Madison High School and Eastern Kentucky University and a few other schools along the way. I love Richmond, and that's one of the reasons I've stayed here all my life. Richmond has been very good to me. I serve currently as pastor of the First Baptist Church on Francis Street, and just a few days ago we celebrated that I've served as pastor there for 34 years. That's a privilege, and I don't take it very lightly. Also, I've been able to serve in the community in other capacities. I'm a retired school teacher, taught in the Richmond City Schools and then the Madison County Schools, and then 18 years at Eastern Kentucky University in the math department there, retired July 2011. I consider that also a great privilege. But I've had the opportunity to serve the community in other ways. One of my prime concerns in our community is the welfare of our youth, and I serve as chair of a group called the Faith Task Force of Madison County Incorporated, which focuses on primarily prevention of drug and alcohol abuse among our teens. And of course, our hands are full. I just ran from that meeting to be here, but it's that important that we focus on our young people. The second way in which I find a great privilege in serving is the New Liberty Shelter for Homeless Families. This year, we're celebrating 25 years that we've provided shelter, apartment shelter for homeless families. There must be children involved. And that, again, is another reason why I'm so passionate about serving on that committee and also chairing it. One of my primary concerns in our community is the issue of public safety, not only for our young people, but for our community as a whole. And over the years, I've had the perspective of serving as police commissioner when we had liaison commissioners.
Commissioner,
and
your
got
time
to see,
is about up.
Yes, sir, and got to see that rather close up. I'm happy to be here tonight and looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you. And our next candidate with an opening statement is in our debate is Morgan Eves. Morgan.
Thank you, moderators, and good evening, fellow candidates and everyone watching and listening at home. I am Morgan Eves, and I am your candidate for Richmond City Commission. I was born and raised in Richmond and graduated from Madison Central High School and left the state for college and law school. I returned in 2013 to practice law with my dad in downtown Richmond at Eves, Olds, Bohannon, and Floyd. It was after living in other communities like Oxford, Mississippi, which has a university similar in size to EKU and a city population similar in size to Richmond, that I realized I needed to run for city commission. Richmond is quickly becoming eclipsed by cities across the state in terms of economic development, downtown revitalization, urban development, and a general sense of community. And I feel that I am the person to help kickstart this again in Richmond. I have a comprehensive view and vision for the city, and I love Richmond. I moved back here to help move the city forward, and I look forward to this evening's discussion and to your support.
Thank you, Morgan Eves. And our next opening statement is from incumbent Commissioner Jason Morgan.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you, John. First, I would like to thank the sponsors of this evening's forum. I'd also like to thank those watching and the candidates for their participation and the opportunity to discuss the city that we all love. I'm grateful for everyone's participation, and it is my goal that after tonight, we'll have a better vision of Richmond. I am Jason Morgan, and for the past year, I've had the privilege of serving as your commissioner. It was not that long ago that I asked for your trust and electing me to represent you at City Hall. In fact, it was about a year and a half ago that I stood before you in a similar forum, and I made certain commitments, that I would listen to you, that I would be your vocal voice at City Hall, that we would engage one another in a conversation about our community and our future, and that I would provide you a city government that we all deserve. Tonight, I can say that I kept my promises. I have delivered on my commitments. Tonight, I'm going to commit that to the next term. I believe that we all can say that we work together, and because of that, Richmond is better off, and our best days lie ahead of us.
Thank you. Commissioner Jason Morgan. And now Commissioner Jim Newby.
Good evening, everyone. I'm glad to be here. A little bit about myself. I'm a graduate of Madison Central High School and of Eastern Kentucky with a degree in law enforcement. I've been a commissioner for, this is my finishing up my second term, and but I just like to say that I'm very honored and humbled to represent the citizens of Richmond. I've been a commissioner for 4 years, and I'm running for my third term. The reason that I first ran is the reason that I'm running once again, to make Richmond the best place possible. I am only one, but I sincerely believe that one person can make a difference when they speak up for what is right and not be bound to political pressures. Richmond has been blessed with many good leaders in the past that have made Richmond what it is today. As I thought about the issues facing Richmond, I am sure they are the basic issues that have confronted each commission in the past and will continue to be the forefront of our thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Jim Newby. And another challenger on our panel for this debate is John Roden. John Roden.
Good evening. Thank you very much for providing this opportunity for each of us and to come and discuss important issues that we have. My name is John Roden. I have been a resident of Richmond, Kentucky, not for as long as others, but since 2001, whenever my wife and I moved here to sit down and put roots. And it's during the last 15 years that we really have truly enjoyed the opportunities that this fine city has. And it's on that that really has a challenge for us to take the next steps. Whenever asked why are we running, mine goes to my children. Because in 15 to 20 years, I will have to stand to count to them, say, what did I do? And I think that that's the purpose that we have here. We have the opportunity to take a stand. We have to identify what we're going to stand for as a city and a community, what we will stand against, who we will stand with, and not only identifying those things, the way we go about it, with integrity, with respect, and to garner the trust of those that we serve, because this is public service. I appreciate you, and I thank you for the time.
Thank you very much, John Roden. I should mention to our viewers watching our YouTube telecast that if you have a question during the live telecast, you're welcome to send an email to richmondforum2016@gmail.com. That email address again, richmondforum2016@gmail.com. This is a Richmond City Commission candidates debate and a special edition of Eastern Standard on WEKU. And I'm going to, for our first category of questions, turn things over to Colleen Spencer for some questions in the area of economic development.
Great.
Colleen.
Thank you, John. In the area of economic development, Reverend Blythe, we're going to start with you. There are several well-known vacant and dilapidated buildings in downtown Richmond. How can the city address this need?
Thank you, Colleen. That question is one that we've been able to give some attention to. This is one of the times when we find it's very true that the wheels of government turn slowly. I say that because if the buildings are dilapidated and worthy of being demolished, for example, there's a legal process that must be engaged, and it takes time. Once our codes enforcement folks have given a look, determined what should be the future of such a structure, then we begin. It takes the court's involvement and so on. Hopefully, some of those structures could be refurbished, ideally, but that's not always the case. But there is a process, and we've engaged in that process, particularly with individual homes, single-family homes, and so on, but also with downtown buildings if they are determined to be no longer of any real value, safety and so on considered, then there's a legal process. They must be owners notified, and then proper paperwork done, filed with courts and so on, complaints filed and such as that. We have engaged in that from time to time. But hopefully with the cooperation of the property owners, we can find a resolution to such a situation.
Thank you, Reverend Blythe. Ms. Eves?
Yes. Are we addressing only buildings in downtown or citywide?
For this specific question, we are addressing downtown buildings, but if you'd like to expand further, you're welcome to.
Okay, thank you. Eminent domain is a government's ability to take from a property owner a blighted building for a public purpose. If a building like the Glendon Hotel in downtown Richmond, if it can be used for a public purpose, then the city needs to determine that and then proceed with the eminent domain process. If a building can't be used for a public purpose and the city sees no real value to the city for that building, then I think they should try to engage and recruit local developers to refurbish those buildings. Blight is a serious problem downtown. It drives out businesses, it drives out foot traffic, and if the city can't itself use those buildings, they need to at least help other contractors and individuals come in, refurbish those buildings, and put them to good use.
Thank you, Ms. Hayes. Mr. Morgan.
Well, we got a new mechanism in place now within the city of Richmond called the Ordinance Enforcement Board. And in fact, last week we had our first hearing regarding properties that were eyesores, were blights. Unfortunately, they were residential facilities or residential and not necessarily downtown. But we expect to expand it. We expect to go after what I call the rogue hotels on 87. And it's certainly a possibility to go after the Glendon Hotel, which is probably the crux of this question, along with forcing payment on the liens that we have, the city of Richmond owns, on the Glendon Hotel. What do you do once you get it? That's the million-dollar question. And Ms. Eves is right, the public-private partnership. We need to investigate those. We need to investigate opportunities with the university. If the Glendon is the crux of the question, we can have Eastern rent out some space for college kids and have flats, and then have the first floor as retail business, which is just an added value to the city of Richmond. It adds to the tax base.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. Mr. Nagy.
Well, between what Commissioner Blythe and Commissioner Morgan have said, you know, these have all been addressed in our work session meetings, which the public are allowed to attend. These issues have all been brought up, and these solutions and possible answers have been. And I don't really have anything to add from what Commissioner Blythe and Commissioner Morgan said. So, that's
okay, Mr. Rudd.
Well, the parts I would add on is, you know, I'm looking at for the processes, and though things do take time, that we as a city would still need to identify those goals and to expedite the process. You know, bringing in and attracting retail is a great avenue, especially for our downtown Richmond area. But also, we need to put a plan in place that is specific, that's measurable, that's attainable, that is realistic, and that's time-oriented. Because before we know it, we can have a year pass by, 2 years, and the conditions have not changed. And without that immediate action to address the issue, we find ourselves further down the road with more problems to address later on.
I believe Mr. Morgan would like to follow up.
Okay, sure. Go right ahead, Mr. Morgan.
Mr. Rowan made a very valid point. We do have a plan. It's called the Comprehensive Plan. It's about a 110-page document where downtown revitalization and economic development are mentioned a total of 88 times combined. Goal number one is economic development, with downtown being the major subject of that goal number one. Also, when you're talking about downtown, let's refer that to a neighborhood, the downtown neighborhood. That's addressed in goal number two of the comprehensive plan, stabilizing our downtown, stabilizing all neighborhoods, including the downtown neighborhood. So there is a plan. It's a comprehensive plan. The plan needs to be brought out during the budget, the crafting of the budget, and we need to budget accordingly, because the plan that's in place is a plan that, frankly, the community developed. It was a community input, which the commissioners, we were involved, but we were only four people involved.
Well, one thing, if I may interject, to have a plan, but what concretely, to use what has been done in the last 2 years, the last four, and Mr. Morgan, you've been on the Commission two different times. You were out of term, but what has been done in the last 2 years to implement that plan?
That's the crux of my frustration. The comprehensive plan needs to be brought out for budgeting. It hasn't, in part because for the past 4 years, the city of Richmond was going through a budget crisis. We had $500,000 in the bank to meet payroll. We've recovered from that. And now it's time to invest. We got, I think I calculated, roughly $20 million in our general fund right now, just willing or waiting to be invested in the city of Richmond.
We've allowed Mr. Morgan a little
bit of time. Others like to interject there.
Are we talking economic or specifically downtown development? I mean,
Downtown was the intended focus of
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I got a couple of things I put together on this. Well, we have many successful businesses downtown, along with financial and professional offices. You can purchase about any basic item you need. For example, Courier's Music World has been in business for 50 years. Leeds Jewelry sells all over the world. Purdy's Coffee has been a great success story. You can actually get home-cooked food, anything from home-cooked food to handmade soaps downtown. Downtown has it all, but we need to do a better job as a city government to continue to have good relations with our downtown businesses and support the Downtown Association. We have some empty storefronts that we can recruit specialty stores to relocate. We need to beautify downtown. We need to look at the sidewalks, the storefronts, the landscaping, traffic flow. We need to offer a venue for nighttime entertainment, such as a place where there could be concerts, plays, movies, lecturers, etc. This will draw people downtown after hours and in turn help the businesses. We need to draw people downtown. We should work with Eastern to have programs that will bring people and the students downtown. Eastern's in our backyard. We need to make downtown a destination place.
Anyone else have a comment? Yes, Ms. Eves.
Back to Mr. Robinson's question about the comprehensive plan and what has been done. I think one of the problems is a true comprehensive plan, if you look at other cities like Danville or Winchester or even Paducah, a comprehensive plan should be an outline of how to reach a goal. Richmond's comprehensive plan details only the goal. I think, and if I'm not mistaken, the comprehensive plan is up for kind of a redo in the next year or two. I think the solution to what has been done is to develop a process for how to reach that goal. It's great to have a goal, but you need to know how you can attain it.
Just one other thing.
Commissioner Black.
Let me tag the concern about the buildings, which may not be in the best condition. I think those buildings could either be refurbished or replaced, whatever is necessary. If there were businesses that were identified that could use them and would use them, and I think that gets into an area that perhaps you'll question later, so I don't want to say too much about it, but then that becomes a matter of hosting folks downtown to use the buildings that are there. And there's a matter that's specific when it comes to hosting folks downtown. So I assume that we'll probably get to that a little later. But those buildings would probably be used, even if they're replaced, if there were businesses that were anxious to get downtown.
Mr. Roden, did you have a comment? You're welcome to pass. You're welcome to chime in.
Well, I think that as we go through, we can beat it for a while, but it's movement. Are we moving? Are we committing? And are we holding ourselves as a commission accountable? And that's one of the pieces that if I'm able to serve in that way, bring that on myself as well. Are we accountable to those that we're serving on it?
Colleen, I believe you have another major downtown issue.
I do, and I think this is a good follow-up, actually, to what we were just speaking about. Several Kentucky cities have offered incentives for businesses to come downtown specifically. What incentives would you like to see the city of Richmond provide for businesses to come to downtown Richmond?
I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of people talk about tax incentives for businesses. I think when you get into taxes, that's more of a state issue as opposed to a city issue. I think what Richmond in general could do to help recruit businesses, reach out. That's the easiest thing to do. I know of several instances where the city has turned away because of zoning restrictions. And you need to see where your weaknesses are. And Richmond has a serious economic development weakness. If we're not all in, then what are we doing? We need to show that we're ready to host, we're ready to commit, and the city needs to really partner with businesses that are interested in coming into town, as well as reach out. If you have other businesses in surrounding cities that you think may want to open a second location in Richmond, reach out. Recruitment is not a bad thing. It's a very powerful tool in economic development.
And I'm going to continue on that question and let you continue, and then Jason. Do you feel that zoning is one of the number one issues in not being able to get businesses downtown?
I'm not sure it's one of the number one. I think it's kind of it's part of the puzzle.
Okay.
I think conditional use permits, if it's beneficial to the city, it needs to be examined as opposed to a flat out no.
Thank you. Mr. Morgan?
Probably the best incentive that we can offer. The tax incentives are pretty much off the table. Those are directed by the state. Probably the best incentive that we can offer is the city taking ownership of some of these properties, partnering in a public-private partnership. The zoning is an issue. Right now it's very difficult for us to have apartments on the second floor of our buildings because of parking regulations. People living downtown, they're going to shop downtown. They're going to go to Purdy's downtown. They're going to go to the Tea Emporium downtown. They're going to go to your shop, Ms. Spencer. So zoning does, in a very spin-off way, cause some downtown issues. one of the ways that we can incentivize businesses relocating would be to hire an economic development coordinator. I have suggested, I've asked for budget, I've asked that our industrial development coordinator assume that role. It was denied by the industrial development board. My follow-up to that was, then why don't we budget for an economic development coordinator in this coming budget? And if we don't want to hire them full-time, let's cede that position to the Richmond Chamber of Commerce and allow them to hire an economic development coordinator.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. Yes, Mr. Navy.
Well, once again, to touch on what he just said, I've met with Mindy from the chamber, and Mindy and the ladies at the chamber have some excellent ideas as far as hiring a coordinator, and they're going to elect a committee to recruit and to advertise Richmond. I think this committee is made up of a lot of realtors, and I think that's a good step, but it's a start. But zoning and parking is a major issue.
Thank you.
I believe, piggybacking on, I think we're going to hear several of the pieces, is that addressing the infrastructure to allow for it, but also seeking out those that are willing to come in and exploring all opportunities. Though the tax incentives, it is not, definitely all within our purview, it should not keep us from exploring and trying to figure out ways to incentivize, whether that's through taxes or through different avenues. Our local businesses are the driver of our downtown, and that's what we should be working to attract that as much as possible.
Thank you.
Commissioner Blythe?
Yeah. Yes. A couple of things. One, we do have, and this may be, I'm thinking of what Mr. Roden said earlier about having goals, but also how we plan to reach those. I guess you'd call it a first step. But we do have a downtown coordinator that I think works really hard, tries to be creative. It's perhaps one of those, if you allow me, one of those biblical references. She's probably trying to make brick without straw. She's doing the very best she can, but doesn't have perhaps everything that she could use to bring about some of the things she'd like to see downtown. Also, let me be redundant, parking would be a matter when encouraging, inviting folks to open businesses, to operate downtown. And coupled with that, I think pedestrian access. I think the two somehow can work hand in hand if parking is properly situated so that folks can get pretty much to anything within a 3 or 4 block radius. And I think that would really liven up, so to speak, our downtown.
If I may ask my colleagues, Colleen and Bill, I know we have a question about the parking garage proposal. I wonder if we can make that happen very quickly, get a very quick response from everyone regarding your position on that.
Absolutely. Mr. Morgan, we'll start with you. The general question is, do you feel like parking in downtown Richmond is an issue? And if so, are you in favor of a potential parking garage?
It's an absolute issue, and absolutely I'm in favor of a downtown parking structure.
Yes, it is, and we need a parking garage. And I'm going to throw out an idea for you, if no one minds. This is my idea. It's not just my idea, but a couple of concerned citizens and I've got together on it. And one idea is to put a parking garage around City Hall. That'd be centrally located. It will offer parking during the day to downtown workers, freeing up street parking, and it'd be a safe place to park for activities at night. The first floor of the garage could have the space for the evening activities, such as a large auditorium. And the first floor could also have small retail businesses. This would transform our downtown. The Downtown Association is to be commended for their activities that they conduct. But they're trying hard, but they can always use help.
Thank you. Mr. Redden.
Yes, I'll say that the parking issue, it is an issue. And not only should we pursue and look at how we obtain that, but the financing. So that we as a city are not pulling that on our own, but exploring different grant opportunities that are available and working with those entities that are around us that we can go out and to move and to maximize the dollars that are available to us, but that will take the networking and the planning of multiple stakeholders, not only within our city government, but our county government and our local businesses as well.
Thank you. Mr. Bye.
Yes. The two questions, yes and yes, but may I add this, please? First of all, I've tried in my mind to see where, for example, a parking garage would work. Now, I'm not skilled in municipal design, but I could see wherever we place, if we should place a parking garage, it should have, and it probably would not be directly on Main Street, except in the possible case of 3rd and Main at City Hall. But wherever one is placed, and two other sites that have been in my mind, one is behind the Glendon, which is a lot that is owned by the city of Richmond. It's a parking lot. It has fall to the land, so perhaps it would be very receptive to that kind of thing. I go down the street to the corner of a Water and First, where Chase Bank is located on Main Street, and I think, wow, with the fall of that land, with the cooperation, public-private, if Chase somehow would enter into some kind of arrangement with the city, then that building on the corner may be eminent domain, but somehow one there, which would allow a very short walk in either of those three cases to Main Street.
Did Morgan Eves get a chance Morgan, to chime in on the parking garage?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I currently think parking is a problem. I live and work downtown. But a parking garage right now to me is the chicken before the egg problem. Is the parking the problem or are other things the problem? I think a parking garage could be part of an overall rehaul of downtown Richmond. I don't know that it's the single solution. And I think one of the most popular places that Mr. Blythe mentioned in the discussion for a parking garage is behind the Glendon, which is actually where I park for my work every day. And to put a parking garage there, I'm not sure the surrounding streets would support a traffic flow. I think that would create another problem. So I think to really make an educated statement about yes or no, someone needs to do, and I believe the city is currently doing it, a parking study, a traffic study, and then that would kind of tell us, if we're going to do it, where the best spot would be.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. This is a Richmond City Commission debate and also a special edition of Eastern Standard on WEKU. And I want to turn now to Bill Robinson of the Richmond Register for some questions related to the very important topic of public safety.
And I think Mr. Newby will probably be the first person to start out. I'll give you a heads up here. Not that many years ago, Richmond's Police Department had a budgeted strength of 70 officers.
Yes.
And for the last few years, the budgeted strength has been 60 officers, even as the city may not have grown in population that much, but it has grown. But we're not even making the strength of 60 officers. Now, I'd like to ask the incumbents, how did this happen? Why has it happened? And since it was partly on your watch, and what can be done to attract and keep the professional police officers, at least up to our budgeted strength of 60? I will note that recently the commission voted to hire 5, or was it 6, that one can start next month, but the rest will have to go through the academy here at Eastern 23 weeks at a time. Usually, typically, we've had 2 go through at a time. So, some movement has been seen, but how did we get here and why?
Well, I want to make a statement because what you referred to me first. I think the most important duty and responsibility of the city government is public safety. It's always been and always will be. I am the only member of the Board of Commissioners that has been on the front lines in public safety. I was a firefighter for the city of Richmond for 10 years. I work closely with all departments of the city, especially police and fire. I know the struggles, heartaches, and joys of public safety. I know the value of life and protecting it. It is of the utmost importance to fund public safety at a high level and have adequate manpower to keep the citizens safe. This is something we must do. I'm not talking about just the minimum to do the job, but to have sufficient manpower, equipment, and training to do the job at the highest level. Now, you're back to your question about...
How did we get to the point where we're struggling just to even put 60 officers, keep 60 officers in the force?
I guess without getting, I guess not say personally into commission meetings and stuff, and the other two, my fellow commissioners can tell you, this has been an issue. This has been an issue that's brought up by each of us at this table. And it's a struggle when certain officials don't think you actually need them. You know, they think everything is fine. And our chief has brought things before us since I've been there every year, and he's going to do so once again. We're short. We're bad short. And, you know, when we hire these officers, they get on the job and our pay scale, they start out normal, but it takes them, you know, when you have an officer, firefighter, or especially police, he's been there 15 years and he's making the same thing as a man that's been there, you know, a year. I mean, that's not right. I mean, these officers, they take their job home with them every day. They're a police officer 24/7. Were you going to ask me something?
We're running short on time. We should move on to
okay.
the candidates.
I just got a lot right. of
yeah, and I have some follow-ups on as far as pay is in pay scale. Yeah. The Ellis Commission has made some proposals, and the county government has recently, just last year, adopted an administrative code that has created steps within positions. Exactly. And right now we have patrolmen and senior patrolmen. And like Winchester and Frankfort, to whom we're often compared, while they don't start out as high as we do, they have three, patrolmen's 1, 2, and 3, and I'm not sure if they have steps within those, but yeah, and this will cost money, of course.
Sure. The reason these officers are leaving is they're hired and they'll go to training. The city will send them to training. And if he's sitting beside an officer from Bowling Green and he's like, well, we're making this, you know, after 2 years, and I'm not. I mean, sure, he's going to get a year or two on the job, and he's going to go somewhere else. Why wouldn't anyone would, especially with a family?
So you think pay is the
major issue?
Pay steps at a larger pay scale. And Mr. Roden.
Well, I believe as far as on for this force, the size and the scope, that we are definitely lower than what we should be. And I think that we as a community should be able to provide the most robust police force, along with all of our other service areas, as we possibly can have. As we look at the flight of our staff that are coming out from through the first 2 years and then that may leave us, looking at different ways to either tier out, looking at the wage comps from comparable size cities, but also to incentivize either through retention leave, ways to keep those that are coming in here. But also I think that we have to support them, not just whenever there's times of need, but to truly recognize the work that they're doing and for us as a commission to take that stand, not only for the force, but also for the citizenry that we serve.
Mr. Blythe?
A couple of things. First, our budgeted strength actually is ideal. And while we've operated the past few years, probably, Bill, at lower than budgeted strength, even, and I think that budgeted strength has come down over the past several years.
From 70 to 60, yeah.
Now, but that budgeted strength, as I say, is ideal. And, of course, as one of the other commissioners has said, it really is a somewhat heated matter for the incumbents to try to persuade everybody involved that we need, because it's translated for some into a matter strictly of dollars and cents. Now, that being said, but it creates, when we operate at lower than the ideal budgeted strength, it creates other matters. You might recall that in the past few months, we enacted an ordinance on order, I can't remember which, that allowed us to compensate our officers who could not take their vacation time. One of the ways we compensate for the fact that we're under strength is in scheduling. And I might say personally, by scheduling longer shifts and fewer days off and that kind of thing, that's not ideal. And it's not ideal for this reason, and I'm through. But it's that the stress level that's involved in all of our public safety positions is threatened by the fact that folks don't get time off as they need for those highly stressful positions that they have. So although we have the budgeted strength, and that would be ideal, I really believe, and I'll quit with this, I really believe that the people of Richmond would be willing to pay for an acceptable level of public safety employees. One other thing, Baptist preacher, one other thing. We've lost officers for several reasons. Not always pay, but it's harder to fill those vacancies than folks might at first see. For the normal course, we're talking 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, academy, and then on the road with a training officer, and so on. But the process takes longer, and we've tried to fill. Our chief has even been creative in that sixth officer that we hired most recently. Now, I'll stop. I'm sorry. That's three times I've stopped. That sixth officer is one who is road ready. Will go to the academy for a brush up on Kentucky law and go straight to the road. We may do more of that in order to work on that lower strength.
I said all that, just not quite that articulate.
Let's turn to Morgan Eves.
Yes, I think Mr. Blythe is right that the people of Richmond would be willing to pay for a strong and supported public safety staff. I don't think public safety is an area where you should skimp. In terms of Richmond, we're not only responsible for the citizens of the city, but through the students that are absorbed from EKU into the city. That adds an extra population that we're responsible for. And I think to touch on also what Mr. Blythe said about officers that are road ready, we don't want to pay the lowest amount to people that are right out of the academy just to say we have police officers. Even John Calipari likes to have a few sophomores and juniors on the team. You don't want people who are leading the community in public safety who aren't properly trained. We need to have senior and junior members, in addition to the freshmen right out of the academy members, in order to form a comprehensive, fully staffed and supported public safety unit.
Hopefully, excuse me, there will be an opportunity in the questioning to address the issue of salary again.
Yeah.
Not sure what we have.
Let's turn to Commissioner Jason Morgan.
So you're asking how do we get from 70 to 60?
Yeah, well, no. We're not even making 60. So how did that happen? And then I guess, well, to be fair to the others.
You've led me to the where I want to go.
Let's go to the simple.
Okay, how do we get to 60? Or why are we at 46 now? We got there because people are leaving at year four. They're leaving at year four because the pay increase from then on out every 3 years is less than 1%. And that, Chief Brock and I and the League of Cities have worked on a plan to address that. And that plan was delivered to the city manager for budgeting purposes last Thursday. So it does address that pay scale. You have Officer 1, 2, 3, Master Patrolman. So we are, a plan is in place. Hopefully it will be adopted by the commission to correct the pay inequities that we pay our police officers from year four and beyond. I think I've addressed your question. It was a loaded question.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Is there more we need to
well,
do on?
More a graduated pay scale, rather than, you work, Bill, you've got two levels and that's it.
Bill, it's in place and I'll send you the information tonight.
All right, let's turn to another topic. This is a Richmond City Commission debate, and it is also a special edition of Eastern Standard on WEKU. We have a number of topics we've identified, and the next of those topics is a wide area of parks, recreation, and also including tourism. And we turn once again to Bill Robinson for questioning in that area.
Do you think, and this will start with Mr. Roden, that we have adequate recreation facilities to meet local needs? And then beyond that, should we try to design a system that would attract, you know, tournaments and other regional events that would draw people to Richmond, which would be part of a, you know, a tourism draw, especially if it's a multi-day event?
I believe that whenever we're looking at ways to attract for tourism and recreation, that we do have some great facilities, but also that we can explore other options and opportunities to draw those in. And I think that being here on the campus of Eastern, that positions us very well. On the way in tonight, I was able to talk with a young man, Logan, who's a junior. He's in marketing, and he's looking to go in for golf promotions. But it's looking at how are we taking the talent that we have here to promote and to really draw in and to market the different opportunities that we have for families and for those that are close by to stop through and see us as an attraction. But also we have to invest that within for our children and families here within Richmond. Are we taking care of what we do have before we explore out? As we look at for the shape of our children, you know, that for Kentucky, some of our children are the least healthy in the nation. That's something that we can't sit idly by for. But it's how we go about that, how we bring our community together to really see that that is an investment, not only for us as a community for a dollars and cents perspective, but also investing back into those that are most in need of it. And that's our children who are going to inherit this in the next 15 years.
Reverend Blythe?
I think we do have what I would call adequate facilities. Now, we can always do better. You know, I think, for example, the facility at Lake Reba is a crown jewel. We don't want to get it too crowded, but it's a crown jewel. Our other more passive parks are wonderful in our city. There are a couple of things. Before we expand, for example, some of the uses of, the Lake Reba facility, for example, we've got lots of soccer and Little League, that kind of thing. I would think we would want to look at some other areas that are not covered. For example, several years ago, there was a lot of discussion in this community about the availability of a skate park. Before I would be willing to expand any of the things, the actual activities that we have, I'd like to see us explore other areas, such as a skate park. But we have wonderful facilities. We have a Parks Board, Parks and Recreation Board, that's very conscientious about what we do offer in the city of Richmond in the way of recreation. Tourism draws, certainly. I think we have to be very careful that we do maintain our facilities in such a condition that we would be a site that others would want to come in to use for their activities, their tournaments, and so on. But I think Richmond parks are exceptional, and we need to you know, to take a look at what we have, and to applaud what we have, and the staff that actually provides us with that parks administration and the servicing of those parks. But yes, we do. We have the crown jewel.
Macias?
I regularly walk at Lake Reba, and when I was younger, Lake Reba was beautiful. Now, the fences need to be painted. Playground equipment was the same as when I was younger. It needs to be updated. And I think, to somewhat play off what Mr. Blythe said, you shouldn't expand until you can improve upon what you have. I think the infrastructure in terms of parks and groundskeeping could certainly be improved. We are having a Little League championship soon, and I don't think it's in any condition to draw people into Richmond, to really hook them. I think we need to take pride in what we have, and the status quo isn't okay. The way the parks look now is adequate, but we can do better than adequate. I think in terms of tourism, the tourism people work so hard. I've been down there and talked to them a lot. They work really, really hard. But, you know, they need to be able to work with what they have, and we need to improve upon the local parks so that they can have a bigger draw in terms of tourism.
Mr. Morgan?
You ready for me? Now, Bill, you know that when I have to take off work and buy supplies to maintain our parks, and you know very well know that I did that, our parks are not being maintained at the level that is acceptable for me. We budget $800,000, roughly $900,000, but we don't come near spending it. So the condition of Gibson Bay or Lake Reba, the condition of Million and Irvington McDowell Park, the condition of our parks headquarters on 2nd Street is unacceptable. You were at that commission meeting when I showed pictures of the upkeep and or the lack thereof. So am I happy with it? No. Am I always willing to expand our park system? Absolutely. We have a proposal by Dr. Murphy that would like to like for the city to incorporate a walking park on Goggins Lane and name it Kit Carson Park. I think I've addressed your question head on, but let me know if I haven't. I'll certainly follow up with you.
Okay. Well, Mr. Newby?
Well, our kids are our future. And as far as Lake Reba, Gibson Bay, it's a gold mine out there. I'll start out with Little League. The city can host tournaments, would bring astronomical amounts of money to this town, from eating out to motels to, if a parent has a couple of kids playing baseball, they've got three that don't play and they can go spend money at the pool. But we need to improve on what we have, yes. And then I'll touch on Irvin McDowell Park. We have two parks. We have Irvin McDowell and girls softball. And the Richmond knows what's been done to girls softball in the past couple of years. They've been told, well, they can relocate, or what are you going to do to us? Well, a field's gone. What's going on? And the girls softball, that's a gold mine as well. I went the opening days of Little League were last Saturday. I went to Little League, the boys, and then I went to the girls. Three times the people at the girls. It's expanding. More kids are playing. And, I go to every parks and board meeting. And the girls softball, all they want is to be treated as fairly as the guys. Irvin McDowell's fine, but just fix what we have there. They had a punch list of things that need to be done. The city, I commend the city, they got on that and they did it. But we have a gold mine in our park system. And to highlight on what everybody said, things need to be done, need to be improved. But as well, we need to take advantage of what we have.
You're listening to a special edition of Eastern Standard featuring a forum for candidates running for the position of Richmond City Commissioner this fall. There is no primary election this spring for these candidates, but WEKU, the Richmond Register, the Downtown Richmond Association, and the EKU Department of Government have put together this event as a way of helping prepare voters well in advance of the election. Our program continues during the next half hour after a short break.
This is a Richmond City Commission Candidates Forum produced as a collaboration of 88.9 WEKU, the Richmond Register, the Downtown Richmond Association, and the Eastern Kentucky University Department of Government. Hello, I'm John Hingsberg, and this program is also a special edition of Eastern Standard on WEKU. With me during our live YouTube telecast are Colleen Spencer, local businesswoman and vice president of the Downtown Richmond Association and board member of Habitat for Humanity of Madison County, also Bill Robinson of the Richmond Register, now a senior news writer for the Richmond Register. We do want to mention that in addition to the candidates who are joining us for this broadcast, are two additional candidates running for a city commission. Incumbent Donna Baird, who had a prior commitment and declined participating in this broadcast. And also Scott Anderson, who is concerned about residencies in the process of moving and not certain about his eligibility for a seat on the Richmond City Commission. But let's resume our conversation. We've spoken for almost an hour, and we're going to be here for at least another 30 minutes discussing issues before the Richmond City Commission. And we're going to turn back to Colleen Spencer for another question in the area of tourism.
Yes, we were able to discuss quite extensively in the area of parks and recreation, so we're going to move to tourism now. You spoke briefly on your relationship with the Tourism Council and with the Tourism Commission, and we are so lucky to have such a strong commission. Would you, as a commissioner, support a main annual festival event in the city of Richmond, and would you as the city be willing to help fund that beyond tourism's efforts? So what we're looking at is, would you be willing to support one main event that would be signature for the city of Richmond? Reverend Burke.
Yes. Yes and yes. I think when we attempted several years ago through what was then called the Pottery Festival, and there was considerable involvement, area potters and so on, because we've lost one now, probably the primary one for our immediate area. And I think it went very well. Lots, cross-section of the county actually participated. It's now called, I think, the Great American, but the last name that was given to it. But I think there should be a significant event. I noticed many of the communities in this state are identified by that very thing. Folks look forward to going to that festival at that time of year, and there's something specific that is the focus of such a festival that really makes it, you know, apples or pottery or whatever it is. But all eyes, all attention, all effort is focused on that one thing, and then these auxiliary things that you do, fun for the kids, and you know, all kinds of refreshments and that kind of thing. But yes, I do believe there should be for our area. We're so well positioned, but we have to be careful what we make our focus. That's probably an opportunity for the community to come together and do some brainstorming, and you know, what. When you think of Richmond, what do you think of? And come up with something that that would be acceptable in that way. But yes, and I think it would be a tremendous draw if we had one.
Thank you, Edwin. Ms. Eves.
Colleen, I know you and I participated in a discussion with the Tourism Commission regarding this very issue, and we had involvement from Richmond City Manager Richard Thomas, who was extremely open to the idea of giving all accommodation to a main sort of signature event in the city. And I think Mr. Blythe is correct. The surrounding cities have taken that and run with it. You know, the Beer Cheese Festival in Winchester or barbecue festivals in Danville. I think that can help unite Richmond, EKU students, county residents, and residents from, you know, sort of outlying counties. I think that can bring tourism in, of course, but I think everyone needs to get on board. I think we need vendors, food, even alcohol. We need to have music. And Mr. Blythe is right. We need the community's involvement and a brainstorming from the community. But it is so important to Richmond's brand and to progress Richmond forward that they kind of step both feet into this sort of movement, which is the signature festival event, and we need to really look into that.
Thank you, Ms. Eves. Mr. Morgan.
The short is yes, we should have a festival, and I'm absolutely in favor of ponying up some money, city money. Again, we have nearly $20 million in the bank. We can well afford it. Some of the things that I have worked on over the past year is I met with an Easter SGA representative on a festival, and I've encouraged them and the city of Richmond to develop a festival around Eastern's homecoming that would draw a bigger crowd, it would draw more participants, and it would, although we don't have town and gown anymore, it would kind of foster that town and gown relationship. I've also worked with a couple of individuals on bicycle races within the Madison County. There would be a Sunday crit and a Saturday long bike ride. I've worked with an individual, in fact, was emailing today back and forth on a marathon for Richmond. So yes, there's tourism opportunities. Yes, there's festival opportunities. We just needed to identify what strategy we want to go and plan it out and realize that it's probably not going to be successful or as successful as we would like the first two or three years. And we should withstand that. That's an investment. But year four, five, and six and beyond, we should begin to see a return. And we should have the determination to make it succeed on the festivals.
Thank you. Mr.
Yes, we do. You know, you hear things from other counties, other cities, examples. I believe Pike Bowl, the Hillbilly Days, London, the Chicken Festival, Baitable, the Woolly Worm Festival. I think Irvin even has the Mushroom Festival. I think it's the okay kind. But we do, and as Commissioner Morgan said, you know, it's something that may not take off, you know, full swing the first year or two, but it's something that the Richmond can expand on, and I think tourism can play a big part in that.
And I believe if we're looking at a signature festival, that's something that we should explore and to potentially go ahead and move forward, and it's identifying what it is. You know, because we can say to have a festival, but bringing together what type of festival, what are we wanting to promote, but also before we commit the dollars that we have reserved, looking at the total cost of operations, are there other resource providers that we can bring in to help share that cost, looking at both the for-profit, non-profit, faith-based organizations to see what resources can be brought in and leveraged so that we can limit the amount of dollars that are coming from our city budget, which we could then direct back into other areas that we've been mentioning all night long for looking into or to improve for the facilities of our parks, looking at for our compensation packages, because that total cost at the end of the day, though it is $20 million, is trying to use that as much as we can to get to our goal.
There have been a couple of comments related to or mentioning Eastern and the City of Richmond relations between the university and the city, or town gown relations. Let's turn to some town gown topics for the next few minutes. And again, we'd like to get to some of the questions that have been emailed to us by viewers of our telecast as well. But Bill Robinson or Colleen Spencer? Colleen?
You're on town and gown.
Town and gown. All right. Very good. I'm going to kind of combine what we had talked about discussing earlier, and Ms. Eves, we'll start with you. We kind of have a two-fold look at the town and gown relationship between the City of Richmond and EKU. Number one is a safety issue, the Colonel Path, how we get students to and from the city hub safely, both morning, noon, and night. And number two, when we have these students and faculty, how do we keep them here? How do we find affordable housing for them? And how do we retain these students once they've graduated?
Well, in turning to the first part of that question, in regards to safety, as I said in my opening statement, I attended the University of Mississippi, which is a very similar size to EKU, and Oxford, where the university is located, is almost exactly the same size as Richmond. So I feel like I can relate a little bit to the parallels and the problems of EKU students and Richmond residents. I think the best way to accommodate students safely is to provide some sort of bus system. It doesn't have to be super often, you know, but to make sure that they're getting to and from Richmond. And that would be a way to help them patronize downtown businesses, bring them downtown. Certainly at night, there are students that frequent bars downtown Richmond. We have a responsibility as a community to make sure those students return to their off-campus or on-campus housing safely. And a bus system is really the most realistic way to do that. And in terms of retaining faculty and students, the city and the university need to have a more open relationship. There are ways to work together, and we're not really capitalizing on those. I know in terms of city commission, at one time, leaders from EKU were invited to come and sit in on meetings, and that doesn't really happen anymore. And if there's no open communication, you're less likely as a faculty member to say to a student, hey, why don't you come to this meeting downtown? Look at what's going on in Richmond. Why don't you consider, you know, job opportunities around here? And in terms of affordable housing, I think there are incredible urban development opportunities in Richmond that could provide affordable housing for future students.
Thank you, Ms. Hayes.
I might talk in bullet points, and I apologize. Sure. The safety issue, I'm part of the Ellis Coalition, and last Wednesday, Eastern representatives brought out this wonderful app that LiveLink, SafeLink, I believe is what it was, called, and an individual can, your friend can track your walk to and from one location to the other. It was the most used application on the app. I'm willing to reach out to Eastern to see if we can't expand that service to the city of Richmond. That's a safety issue. The Colonel Path, part of my, one of the objectives of the, my meeting when I talked about the festival was talking about the Colonel Path, a well-lit area that's designated for students or predominantly used by students that is patrolled, maybe in conjunction with the Eastern police officers, is not beyond the reach of achieving. Ways of retaining professors and students. I'm working with the university right now, the Department of Applied Psychology, and we're developing a survey to roll out to the citizens of Richmond on areas of weakness, areas of opportunity. That's one way. Once we identify where our strengths and weaknesses are, we can begin to develop a strategy to achieve better economic development, or better retention for our students and faculty. My vision and part of that is to develop Richmond as the small town capital, or excuse me, small business capital of Kentucky. And we can do that by working with Eastern and the incubator program.
Thank you.
I think downtown relationships between Eastern and the city of Richmond, they are getting better. It's a slow process. There used to be null and void. I think Ms. Rose Rex coordinating things, and along with the downtown organization, we're coming along. We have ideas floating. But as far as the path to and from EKU to downtown, it's I think the ideas that we have as far as busing, lighting, safety issues, they're there and they need to be addressed, and I think those would enhance the traffic. As far as affordable housing, I think a safe, clean environment for the children and the students should be an opportunity for everyone, and I think that it will help the children excel socially and academically. We need to pursue every avenue that we can. I think with government agencies, banking, things like that, we could all get together and make some good decisions.
Thank you.
And for the safety, you know, not to, to reiterate what has been said over and over, I think the safety issue, that we do have a responsibility and that we should be taking that, especially for our citizens that are here for a four-year period or for those that are residents here for 30-plus years. I think that that gives us more credence to really invest back into our police force that we have. The more officers that we have on the streets patrol, the safer that our students will be. For transportation service providers, let's turn to them. Those that are operating within our community or those that are surrounding communities that are knowledgeable of the business, seeking them out, getting their guidance of how we provide the transportation services to our students here to hopefully take a route downtown to get into some of the retail shops that we have as well. But I think the relationship piece, it's a two-way street, that we have to take the stance that we are actively seeking and pursuing a relationship with Eastern, but also bringing in other people, other stakeholders, to make that a strong collaboration. A three-legged table stands, four-legged stands stronger, right? So the more people that we can have that are committed to that, the stronger that we will be, and that can take us so much further into the future.
This is a Richmond City Commission candidates debate, and we are really beginning to run out of time. So I'm going to, as a moderator, take the prerogative of moving on to some of these questions that come from those who've written in by email. And we'll ask our panelists, candidates, to limit your answers to 1 minute maximum on these questions. I've got at least three we'd like to get through, and then we'll give everybody an opportunity to make a brief closing statement. So let's turn first to a question that came in from Ray Arnold. Ray is writing about recycling, and the question is, are you in favor of expanding recycling services to include glass? And as a user of the recycling service in Richmond myself, I find time at a very interesting and appropriate question. So let's turn to incumbent Commissioner Jason Morgan, I guess, for that.
I think that's a Dr. Wilson question. That's the first time he emailed me was, why doesn't Richmond recycle glass?
That was him, huh?
There is no market for it at this time. Or there's no market that we can find for it. Yes, if we can identify a market, absolutely, let's do it. I'm probably more in favor of a single stream recycling, where we put everything in, we send it to Lexington, and they can sort it out. It's more cost effective. It recycles more. It reduces landfill waste. So, yeah, if there's a market for it, absolutely. If there's not, it's just going to pile up next to our recycling center.
Okay, let's turn to Commissioner Newby.
Well, sir, I couldn't think of a better answer than my comrade Commissioner Morgan just said. If I said anything, I'd just be rambling. But okay. He made a very good point there.
Well, we appreciate you yielding the time. Mr. Roden.
If there's a market for glass, I think we should go. However, we also should promote and look at for the recycling that we have. Only 2% of the current waste stream is recycled. That's something that we're barely even scraping on what we can, that there is a tangible revenue back in for us.
Commissioner Blythe.
With the fear of being redundant, we should expand. But I asked our recycling people, and not to mention the fact that I got a couple of those little oops sheets that they give you when you put something in recycling that you're not supposed to. And I was throwing my glass in there still, but it'd be nice. But they said, we don't have a market at this time.
And Morgan Eves.
For fear of being redundant, okay. I agree with everyone.
Excellent. Well, here, let me pose this question then that is perhaps more likely to get a diversity of responses. This is from Rob Morin, who wrote to us by email. And Rob wants to know, of these candidates for Richmond City Commission, do you support anti-discrimination measures to protect our local LGBT community in the workplace? And I guess we start with Commissioner Newby.
Yes, I do. I do. I mean, I don't need to elaborate on that. I mean, I support it.
Mr. Roden?
I said that we should be supportive of the rights for everyone. But I think that as far as on invoking ordinance is to single out a specific, I think that that takes away rights from others. One of the pieces that I firmly believe that until we can really protect the rights of our children and our unborn, then we're missing the mark. So we need to get first things first before we move forward anywhere else.
Okay. Commissioner Black.
And my stated position has been over the past few years, in fact, that first of all, I do not support discrimination in any fashion against. But on the other hand, we must be very careful about identifying specific classes. That could become a dangerous circumstance for us. At the same time, I've asked that our police would monitor complaints that can be explored over the time to see if there is a trend of any specific kind of discrimination.
Morgan Eves.
Yes, I support those ordinances. I am a lawyer by trade, and I believe all persons are protected from discrimination under the law. And I think when you show your citizens that you value them in a workplace or outside the workplace, those people are more likely to enjoy a greater sense of community and to stay in that community.
And Commissioner Jason Morgan.
I believe that question is best addressed when you're carving out or you're creating protective classes of individuals. That question is best addressed by state and federal governments. It makes it very difficult for to have this piecemeal fairness ordinance in Richmond, fairness ordinance in Madison County, fairness ordinance in Berea, for a particular businessman to operate in all three governments. So that question is best addressed by our state leaders, our national leaders.
I think go to one final question and see what kind of creative responses we have to this. It's certainly something that affects all of us in the Richmond community. And this question came from Heather Arvin. What can be done about the congestion on the bypass, the eastern bypass, specifically around Richmond Center? Issues about congestion on the very heavily traveled eastern bypass. And let's see, I believe we're starting with John Roden.
Well, thank you very much on that one. No, I think that one of the pieces that we should look at, it's a blessing and a curse in a way. You know, it's great to have such a robust, vibrant area that's going out by the interstate, getting the great traffic, but also it brings with it other conflicts. So I think that we could petition, even looking at Eastern, if there's someone here or one of the departments that would be able to help us with traffic flow, but also to bring with us solutions in different ways that we can. So it's great to have it out there, but also it's something that we do need to look into.
Commissioner Black.
Two things quickly. One, I believe there is underway another study. I remember several years ago participating in that 20-year traffic study, and I'm sure that folks are looking at that now to try to resolve. I remember a candidate for the commission 25 years or so ago who said the best solution to our traffic problem is just to tell Richmond to stop growing. I thought, well, what in the world is he thinking? It is a blessing and a curse. It's a good sign that folks are getting around, they're accessing, but there are those circumstances that cause us to sit down at the table and to have community meetings and say, now, how can we resolve this issue? And I'm sure that that's one of the things that's being done already.
Morgan Eves.
Yes, I think this harkens a little bit back to economic development. I think one of the reasons Richmond Center is so heavily populated is because the development is so one-ended on that side of town. I think if we expand economic development to downtown or to other areas of town, that would even out some sort of traffic flow. I think also Richmond needs to look at their long-term 20-plus year city planning. We're only going to continue to grow, and we need to figure out a way to accommodate that growth.
Commissioner Morgan.
Yeah, in December, I met with the Transportation Cabinet and provided them a report and some feedback that I received from citizens on the EKU bypass congestion. We're supposed to have a follow-up meeting in May to go in depth, a little bit more in depth with the report. So what's being addressed, I'm primarily concerned with the Killarney interchange intersection. We've had multiple wrecks, I think maybe a couple of fatalities, but I'm looking into it. The Transportation Cabinet's looking into it, and we have a meeting. They sent out a meeting invite or suggesting a meeting for May.
And Commissioner Newby.
Speaking about the Richmond Center area, I live on Goggins Lane, so it hits home with me. I find myself more and more going in Tate's Creek and coming into town through West Main, and that section has issues of its own. That is a problem, and it's something that we can't, you can't just put a Band-Aid on it. It's going to have to be addressed in the future. And I also think as Richmond grows, from every which direction, especially the Duncannon area, hopefully, we can bring industries and businesses to different parts of the area, and we'll kind of take the weed out of the Richmond Center and take a lot of burden off of that traffic area.
Folks, we are about to go over time from our committed 90 minutes, so let us proceed with some closing statements from our candidates for Richmond City Commission. I'll ask you to consider doing maybe 30 seconds to a minute in your closing statement. And coincidentally, we're back to the beginning of our group of candidates, Commissioner Robert Blythe.
Once again, I'm Robert Blythe, and I'm an incumbent commissioner. I desire to serve another term should the people ask me to by their vote in November. I've never made any campaign promises except for two. The first was that there was an intersection in our town where folks were being killed and there was no light. And a gentleman asked, if I vote for you and you get elected, will you work to get a stoplight? We did, and that has saved many lives. The other thing that I've promised to do is to be honest and fair and to do what I feel is right. I would appreciate your support in November on the 8th.
Candidate Morgan Eves.
I'm Morgan Eves, and I'm your candidate for Richmond City Commission. I believe I would be a great city commissioner because I am committed to helping Richmond progress into the future. I am part of Richmond's next generation, and we need to make it sustainable in terms of economic development and progression in order to enliven the community. Thank you.
And incumbent Jason Morgan.
John, Bill, Colleen, thank you for your time this evening, and thank you to the candidates, but most importantly, thank you for those that are watching tonight. I look forward to continuing the conversation over the coming months on how we can make Richmond that desirable place of our dreams. Again, thank you for your time, and we'll see you out in the streets.
Commissioner Jim Newby.
Well, folks, it's pretty short and simple with me. I wasn't blessed with the gift of gab, but I've found I'm much more efficient as a commissioner when my ears are engaged as opposed to my mouth. I'm running for my third term, and I think by now everyone knows where I stand on most issues, and I am a voice of the citizens of Richmond, and I'm not a member of anyone's posse, and I will never cast a vote just to appease the situation. Thank you.
Candidate John Roden.
Thank you again. My name is John Roden. I'm running for City Commission. And as we go through this year, it's our prayer that as we serve, whoever becomes elected to serve this great city, that we do it humbly, that we seek after not our own will, but we seek his will and bring glory to him.
Thank you to our candidates who have been here for this Richmond City Commission Candidates Debate, sponsored by the Downtown Richmond Association, Eastern Kentucky University Department of Government, WEKU, and the Richmond Register. I'm John Hingsbergen, thanking everyone who's participated in this telecast. Professor Darren Wilson produced this telecast with assistance from students Logan Riley and Andrew Moorhead. This has been a special edition of Eastern Standard on WEKU Public Radio, which will be airing Thursday morning at 11 o'clock and Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We remind you, Election Day is a few months away, November the 8th, but this is an important re-election in the city of Richmond. I'm sure there will be another, at least one additional debate of Richmond City Commission candidates. Thanks, everyone, for watching and for tuning in, and for participating in this Richmond City Commission Candidates Debate. I'm John Hingsbergen.